All right. Let's go to the last. Number 16 on page 14. The last consonant, 70 on this list. What did I do with you? Yeah. All right. This one, and I'll add a little something to it also. It'll make things clear. You know, when you're learning the Vibhaktis, is-au-us, if you learn the Padini Vibhaktis, is-au-us, right? Out-jus, the bias, this. There's always a sakara on the end when you actually learn the raw form of the Vibhakti ending. It's always ending in an is. If we learn it as Visarga, it's ending as an is, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, the sakara in usage is always going to go to Visarga. So see here, sakara and repa go to Visarga. Let's look at the sakara first. At the end of words, the sakara, whether followed by any vowel, any letter or not vowel, any letter or not, and the repa followed by a hard consonant or by nothing, are changed to Visarga. So now let's just take it for the sakara. Sakara changes to Visarga. And then that Visarga, so in usage, the final sakara will change to Visarga. Then that Visarga will go through Sandhi rules. Right, so you have, if you take Rama and the nominative plural, I mean nominative singular, for instance, you have Ramas. If you add the sakara onto it, which is the nominative singular ending, that immediately becomes, in usage, Ramaha. No matter what follows or if it's at the end of the word, it becomes Ramaha. And then we learn Visarga Sandhi.
Right.
Okay? So you have to know that, really, this Visarga was initially probably a sakara. It could also have been a repha. So we're going to look at this one. A repha also is going to change to Visarga, but here it's not global. Okay? So if you look at here, the repha, when followed by a hard consonant or by nothing, is changed to Visarga. So here this would be, the repha changes to Visarga when followed by a hard consonant or nothing, means it ends the sentence. Now, the word that you're often going to see is punar. Punar. Punar means again. Comes all of the time. So if we say, there's a famous sentence, punaf punaha. Punaf punaha. Shravanam kuryat. You should do shravanam again and again. One should do kuryat shravanam, punaf punaha, again and again. Okay? So here, if I have punar, for instance, right? If the repha goes to Visarga, if it's followed by a hard consonant or by nothing, so if this is all I have, it's going to go punaf punaha, right? But what if I said punar, not doing any study, punar akrot. He did, again and again, he did shravanam. And nothing happened. I'm kidding. Okay. Again and again, akrot, shravanam. Repha, followed by hard consonant, goes to Visarga. So punaf, because of the upadmaniya, takes the pronunciation becomes if. So punaf. But now the repha is followed by a vowel. If it's followed by a vowel, then what happens? No. Repha followed by a vowel. If you have the repha followed by a Visarga, The rapa itself changes to visarga if the rapa is followed by a hard consonant or by nothing. Okay, so a rapa, like in punar, if punar is followed by a hard consonant or by nothing, then it will go to visarga. Maybe I can write that better.
Yeah,
I should write it like this. Okay,
yes, sorry.
Yeah. If I could, a rapa goes to visarga, okay? If followed by hard consonant or nothing. So you could say plus. Could I say like that? The rapa goes to visarga.
No, it should be R plus H, C or nothing equals visarga.
That's right.
Well, here I have the rapa goes to visarga. Right? If the rapa, the rapa goes to visarga, if it is followed by, if the rapa is...
Normally you write that as you write plus hard consonant or not.
No, but usually I go like this. This is why the problem. If I go, say, plus visarga, plus soft consonant or vowel, for instance.
Right.
Goes to O. The A plus visarga goes to O.
Right.
So here I have rapa. Okay. Like this. The rapa followed by hard consonant or nothing.
Right. That's it.
Okay, good. Goes to visarga.
That's right.
Okay. But now here I've got, so here I've got the rapa followed by, what's it, pa?
Hard.
Rapa followed by hard consonant. What happens? Visarga. Rapa followed by vowel. What happens?
Nothing.
Stays. This comes a lot because there's not very many words that end in rapa. But punara is a very, very common word because it means again. So with punara especially, you're going to be seeing this. So you have puna, punar, akarot, shravanam. But punah punaha, or punah punaha shravanam, hard consonant. Everybody see that? Sakara always goes in all cases to visarga. The rapa will go to hard consonant. Rapa will go to visarga when followed by a hard consonant or by nothing. There's something else I don't have here that's kind of doesn't necessarily need to be included in this, but I'm going to make it as kind of another rule that I put on. Can I erase this? I've kind of ignored this.
17?
I don't know if we would call it 17. I guess you could. It's this. These two roots, these two nouns, saha and eshaha. Just these two words. Saha is he or that. Eshaha is he or this. Okay? If I say,
Wait, for instance, saha is he or that.
I'm sorry.
Eshaha is...
In the masculine. Like, for instance, if I said, saha purushaha. Or eshaha, purushaha, that man, saha purushaha, that man, or eshaha purushaha, this man. This becomes like an adjective, that man or this man. But I could also say saha gachati, or I could say eshaha. He went. This is normally, in that case, we would normally use this. He went. If we use eshaha, it's still he went, but it's obviously referring back to someone. Right? Both are, but normally this is what you'll see. But what I'm saying is that this is a verb, and you can, if you're using this as the pronoun in the sentence, it's going to be he, If you're using it as, because masculine, or referring to something masculine. If you're using it as an adjective, then you're not going to say he purushaha. You're going to say that purusha, or this purusha. Okay, so now, this is the rule. Using just these two rules. I'll read it to you out of this book, and we'll see it in the sutras. Saha and Asaha brought the final is or visarga. As a visarga, it was previously a sakara. So they dropped the final is or visarga when followed by a consonant in the sentence. I'm going to show you what that means, okay? So saha or this, followed by a consonant, visarga drops. Oh, let me just put like this. Followed by a consonant, visarga drops. Okay, visarga drops. But I want to show you what this actually means. Followed by any consonant, the visarga drops. Any consonant. So now what you're left with are the vowels. Okay? So let's look at what those would be. For instance, it would be saha, I am just making two simple words. What's that rule? Then it would be saha agachati, and then any other vowel except or a would be saha, and this is saha or eshaha, okay? Would be ichati, east ending for an itch, any vowel, ichati. What happens here? A plus visarga plus soft consonant or a, what happens to visarga? Yeah. So, actually I did this. Soham.
No, wait a minute, why isn't it just dropping?
I'll give you the Sunday. You just not remembering the Sunday.
Okay.
I'm doing this. Draws, so leave this followed by consonant.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So now we're doing, what are the vowel options? So you have saha plus aham. Where do you remember this?
Soham.
Soham. Right? Soham. So this rule is a plus visarga followed by a, actually soft consonant or a, right? The visarga changed, the a and the visarga changed to o, and this is replaced by avagraha, so you get soham. So we've seen that so many times, right? What happens to visarga when you have an a followed by visarga followed by soft consonant or any vowel, soft consonant or vowel, except for a?
Visarga drops.
Visarga drops. Okay. What happens with this? Ara visarga followed by any vowel except ara.
It changes. No.
Any vowel except ara, actually.
Don't tell me.
The same as this. Any,
so this drops.
Drops. So this is what this rule amounts to. The only time you see the visarga not dropping for the sakara is when it's followed by a short a. Because this is the rule. The visarga, right, when followed by a consonant, it always drops. Right? So get that? For these two words, saha and eshaha, if it's followed by a consonant, the visarga drops. But now that means, okay, well, what happens when it's followed by a vowel?
Right.
Okay? So now I'm saying, these are the vowels, okay? You've got the a plus the visarga, because the word is saha. So now you've got the Visarga, A plus Visarga plus A, Soham. But now you've got the A plus Visarga plus any vowel except A. What happens? Drops. Okay? A plus Visarga plus any vowel except A. A plus Visarga plus any vowel except A. Drops. So that means whenever you're seeing this word sa, which is pervasive, much more pervasive than eshaha, though this comes too. But these two, only these two words, not a declension of these two words, only these two forms as they are, the Visarga always drops unless it's followed by a. The actual rule is that it will drop when followed by any consonant. Right?
So then that means that the Visarga Sandhi, which says that a plus Visarga plus soft consonant.
If it's soft consonant, it's going to drop.
Oh, that was the same. Okay, so that applies.
In any consonant, the Visarga will drop. For these two, Saha and Eshaha.
Shouldn't you often say Saha Gachati though?
No. If I'm breaking the Sandhi, I'll say Saha Gachati because I'm adding that Visarga back on.
So then,
but you won't see it in print.
But you would say, so how do you say he goes? You say Sa Gachati? Not
Sa. If you're doing the Sandhi, yeah. I'll say Sa Gachati and then I would say Saha Gachati. You're not going to see Saha Gachati in print.
Will Sa Gachati be written as one word or something? And then Gachati,
two.
Sa and Gachati?
Yeah. Huh. Now I'll start pointing it out to you. I haven't pointed it out. But it's there all the time. This is the only time when it's followed by short a that you're going to see the declension. Because here, by this overarching rule, if it's followed by any consonant, the Visarga drops. Then you're left with a vowel sandhi. But in the vowel sandhi, the only time that the Visarga doesn't drop is if it's followed by a. Like soham, saha, aham, soham. Then you see it. You see the sandhi taking place. Otherwise, the sandhi is taking place by dropping. Okay? I'll point this out now as we're reading text, so more of a note of it. And when we go through the Lagu Siddhanta Kalmudi, some special words where there's a sandhi just particularly to that word or to an internal sandhi formation, we'll be seeing those. But for now, the sandhis that you have, it's pretty complete. You know, the other ones are going to be esoteric sandhis that you can do fine without. Okay? Everybody okay? Another thing you can do now is go through all of the exercises in this booklet and see if you should be able to do all the exercises in the booklet now. Okay. And then when we get to Sandhi Chandrika, there'll be a lot more examples. Okay?
Okay.
Got a few minutes. Lagu Siddhanta Kalmudi. We're on page 11. Ukalo Ajpraswa Dirga Prutaha. It's sutra number 1229 or 27, I mean. On page 11. No, we're on page 11 now.
Right, but on page 10 was... Okay.
Oh, didn't we?
I don't know.
Maybe we're on Adarshanam Lopaha.
I think
we are. I'm sorry. We are. You're right. Let's go to that. Adarshanam Lopaha, page 10.
So on the handout, it's at the first page.
Well, I'm sorry, Pranita. Number 2 on page 1 of the Lagu Siddhanta Kalmudi.
Adarshanam Lopaha. Lopa is a technical term, and this is defining what that technical term means. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
Lopaha means elision. Lopaha, the word itself, to leave out, to drop off, means something becomes adarshanam. Adarshanam means when lopa takes place, that letter is not seen. But now the important thing about it is though the letter, so lopa...
It doesn't necessarily drop off, it just becomes invisible.
Yes. The letter becomes invisible, but it still maintains its force. In other words, what that letter was used for still applies, but you don't see the letter anymore. Mm. Okay? So, here, adarshanam lopaha, let's look at the Sanskrit. Lopaha is adarshanam, means a letter becomes invisible. Okay? It's not seen. Let's look at that little vritti on there, and it'll I can explain some words to you.
And how do you translate lopaha?
Elision.
Okay, another English word.
A blank substitution. Lopa means elision.
I don't know what elision means.
Elision means to disappear. To go away. It's elided. It's lopped off.
Okay.
Lopped off. That's interesting.
Oh.
Elision is to delete something, to get rid of it.
Okay.
But the important thing is that you get rid of it, it becomes invisible. You can't see it anymore, right? But it's the force of use is still there. Like, for instance, if something, like, say, the A or O of a word is elided, it still means, it's still in the locative, or it's still in the, like if I say Rame, and that A is elided because of a Sandhi, for instance, right? It's still there. That's not a good example, but...
Well, how about soham, like the other changes?
Yeah, that could be perhaps an example, but it's really, it's only used once or twice in Padani. But what the understanding is that when the elision takes place, the operation that letter stood for, the use that letter stood for, is still in place. So really, lopa means it becomes adarshanam, invisible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at the little vritti here. Adarshanam lopaha. So repeat after me. Adarshanam lopaha.
Adarshanam lopaha.
Prasaktasya darshanam.
Prasaktasya darshanam.
Lopasanyam.
Lopasanyam.
Syat.
Syat.
Sandhi. Prasaktasya adarshanam. Lopasanyam. Syat. Okay? Sanyam, technical term. Lopa sanyam, syat. Lopa is the technical term. Lopa sanyam, syat. Okay, for what? Prasaktasya adarshanam. The adarshanam, the not seen, means becoming invisible. In a longer vritti in my other Sanskrit book, it becomes invisible, or it's not heard, it's not perceived. They have a whole list of things that means invisible. For prasakta, prasaktasya adarshanam, no longer the not seeing of prasakta. Prasakta is also a technical term. It means something that was in use. Like there was a letter or an affix that was in use. So prasakta means for something that was in use, that thing becomes adarshanam. When something that was in use becomes adarshanam, not seen, that is technically called lopa. Okay? So the lopa sanya, the technical term lopa, the lopa sanya is when something has become invisible, when something in use has become invisible. Means it's been... There's been an elision of that. Does everybody see it? So now you know what lopa means. If you say something lopa has taken place, it means that thing has been elided. All right? become, it's no longer seen, but it's there, it's invisible. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Why did Lagu Siddhanta Kaumudi introduce this? Because of the next sutra. Tasya Lopaha. We're still defining the Pratyahara. Tasya Lopaha. The Anuvritti for Tasya Lopaha, which is the number 139, sutra number 139, the Anuvritti is it. It is coming down from the previous sutra. Okay? Lopa of that. Tasya of that. Lopa. There is lopa of that. That's what the sutra says. There is lopa of that. But from the Anuvritti, you have to see what they're talking about. There is lopa of that it.
Of the it letter.
Of that it letter. There is lopa of that it letter. Because in this is a section, the sutra comes in a section where they're talking about it letters and what happens to it letters.
Oh.
It letters are deleted. Right? So, look at the vritti. In the vritti, it includes the anuvritti, what's coming down from a previous sutra.
Where
does it go? I'm going to read it to you. The vritti is right below Tasya Lopaha. Uh-huh. Is everybody with me? Okay. Repeat after me. Tasyeto Lopaha Syat Sandhi Tasya Ittaha Lopaha Syat. Ittaha from it is going to be here in the genitive singular. Because if I decline it like a ta ending noun, that ittaha can either be the ablative or genitive singular would be ittaha, and also the nominative and accusative plural is ittaha. So here the it is declined in the genitive. Remember the anuvritti, anything that comes down from a previous sutra is called anuvritti. The anuvritti can be declined in whatever way is required to fit into the sutra. So here the anuvritti is being declined in the sixth case to match the tasya. So tasya ittaha lopaha syat. There is lopa, there is elision of that it. Okay? Remember, tasya lopaha is defining the use of it letters. And now look at the example. Repeat after me. Nadayo.
I don't know where you are.
We're in the vritti. Tasyeto lopaha syat. Nadayo. You see? Tasya lopaha. Where are we?
Oh, here. Okay.
Everybody with me? In the vritti? Nadayo.
Nadayo.
Nadyarataha. What does this say? In, right? Let's see. Na nadiyaha nadiyaha anadi artaha. Verlik eon ayach. Na adyaha. This it letter in the Pratyahara, this is the first it letter in the Pratyaharas. Ayun verlik eon ayach. First it letter. Na adyaha, na adyaha. Right? Beginning with na.
Right.
We're beginning with the nakara. So na adyaha in the nominative plural, it says, that which begins, adiyaha, nominative plural, that which begins with a nakara. In the Pratyahara Sutras, what is the first it letter?
No.
Is the first it letter of the Pratyahara Sutras is na. Okay? No. This sutra, Tassilopaha, is right now defining the Pratyahara sutras. There is lopa of the it, of that it. What is the first it letter in the Pratyahara sutras? Ayun. No. Am I not being clear? Penny?
Yes, all right.
There's enough. Okay.
I'm being serious here. Look at Ayun.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, you don't have to do any more. I understand.
This is the first of a whole series
yes.
of it letters. This Correct. Is the first one. This is the second one.
Yes.
Ayun. This is the third one, right?
Okay.
So, yes. if I say that in the whole Pratyahara, all of the 14 sutras, the first it letter in the whole group is na.
Correct.
Okay?
Yeah.
Beginning with na, that which begins with na. Okay?
It's actually adi, right? Is that maybe
what? Adi, see, if I have the word adi, what is the nominative plural of adi?
Nominative plural of adi. Is adiha. Right.
So that'd be adihi, right?
Adi.
Adiha. This is nominative plural of the word adi. So those which begin, adi, it begins, those which begin with na, this compound, nominative plural. Okay? What's the next word?
Anadi.
Nadi, anadi, arthaha. Now what does it say? Check it there, arthaha, plural. Look at this. Anadi. Artaha means these are the examples. These are the examples. Like, for example, the artahas are an, etc. For the Pratyahara sutras, which begin with a, so artaha, this is a compound. Examples, for example, the artaha, that which begins with an. Okay? What is an? It's the first Pratyahara sutra. Okay? So for the it letters, it says this. So now let's look at it. Nadiyaha, the nakar, beginning with the nakar, for those which begin with un. The Pratyahara sutras begin with un. The nakara, etc., are it letters. So what does it say? Tasya ittaha lopaha. There is elision of those it letters. Like, for instance, in the Pratyaharas, Ayun Rilek Eong Ayauch, there is elision of the it letter na. Ka, Ayun Rilek Eong Na, Ayauch Cha. All of the it letters have lopa. Okay? That's all it says. So you have to remember what's happening here is what are they trying to do? They're trying to give you the sutras that are directly involved in forming the Pratyaharas. That's all that's happening.
But the literal translation of Nadayo Radartaha is example Ra in An, etc. Right, that's the literal
The Nakara, etc. The Nakara, etc. For the Arthas. For the words, the examples that are being used. An, etc. Anadi, an etc. Arittaha. Okay? Everybody clear? Let's look at the third one. We've done this one. Adirantena. Antena. I'm going to break this in. Adihi. Antena. Oops. Saheta. Oh, let me break that, Sunday. Adihi antyena saha hita. Adihi antyena saha hita. What does this say? Adihi nominative singular, the first. Saha, together with. The final it. The first letter, adihi, saha, together with, this will govern the instrumental. This is third case instrumental, this is third case instrumental. Saha governs the instrumental. The first, saha, together with, antyena, the final it. So say if we say this, the first, together with the final if, like say if I choose a final if, I could do, starting with I could take the final it, un, or I could take the final it, uch, or I could take the final it, ush. So I take the first letter, or it could even be yun. Whatever first letter I take, will that, plus the final, will what? Include all of the intervening. You know that it's going to include the intervening letters from the vritti. It's not told that. Yeah. It's not told that in the sutra. All that the sutra says is the first together with the final it. Okay? But now let's read the vritti. And remember, this is defining a pratyahara. Okay? Let's read the Sanskrit for it. Ready for everybody? The vritti of the Sanskrit? Well, first read the, repeat after me. Adi, for the sutra. Adirantyena saheta.
Adirantyena saheta.
Again. Adirantyena saheta.
Adirantyena saheta.
Now, the vritti. Antyeneta. Sahita.
Sahita.
Adir. Madhyaganam.
Madhyaganam.
Swasyacha.
Swasyacha.
Sagnya Syat.
Sagnya Syat.
Yatha.
Yatha.
Niti.
Niti.
A-i-u Varnanam. Sagnya.
Sagnya.
Evam.
Evam.
Ach.
Ach.
Ho.
Ho.
Al ityadiyaha.
Al ityadiyaha.
Okay. One thing I forgot to put up here for this one. Let me get the number. The number is 1171. And it has the anuvritti, swamrupam. I'm going to have to give you, I do in the handout, I give you all the anuvrittis. In this book, they just include the anuvritti. Okay, they include the anuvritti in the vritti.
But
I have to tell you, and I do put all of the, in the handout, I have all of the anuvrittis in parentheses. So, but let's read this. Antyena ita. Everybody see that? Antyena ita. Sahita. Sahita is the synonym for saha. Okay? Together with antyena ita, with the final it. Antyena final, ita it. Both in the third case. Antyena ita. Together with the final it. Adihi, the first. Nominative singular. And, you know, if you print out the handout, it'll have all of this translated for you. So, adihi, the first, madhyaganam, for those which have gone into the middle. Madhya, the word madhya means middle. Ga, that which is gone into, that which is placed. Madhyaga, comes from gum. Yeah, it's gone to the middle. Those that are gone have gone into the middle. So, for those, we would just say for those which are in the middle, madhyaganam, then what? Swasyacha, and for itself. So what does that mean? you have this word, but first, say we take the pratyahara, un, okay? This un is going to include, we're going to be the first together with the last, and everything in the middle. So that's going to mean a, e, u, in. Okay, now here's the last, the nakara. Here's the first. These are in the middle. Okay? But now, are you going to just count the ones in the middle that come between these two letters? Or do you include the first? So here it says, swasya cha, for those which have gone into the middle and for itself, the first. So it says the first together with the last it. Okay? So antyena ita sahita adihi. The first together with the last it. Madhyaganam swasya cha. For the middle letters and for itself, the first. Sagnya syat. Okay? It is a sagnya, a technical term. Right? A technical term. For the first together with the last. For the first, the intervening letters, and the last, we have a sagnya. Yata, just as un iti. Just as un. Yata means just as un, which is the first pratyahara. Yata un, just as un iti, puts the un in quotes. A I u varna nam. Just as un is a sagnya, is a technical term for the letters, the varnas. A I u. A I u varna nam sagnya, just as un iti is a sagnya, a technical term for the varnas, for the letters. A I u. See what it says? A I u varna nam sagnya. So just as un is a technical term for the letters a I u. Evam. In the same way. Ach. Ach is a pratyahara. For what? What's ach a pratyahara for? Vowels.
All the vowels.
Ho. What is ho a pratyahara for?
All the consonants.
All the consonants or for ho. Or for ha. Yeah. What is O a pratyahara for?
Oh.
Everything. Mm. The whole alphabet. The uch, vowels,
right.
Ho, consonants, O, everything. So here it says, in the same manner, uch, ho, O, iti, adiha. So it's just adi means etc. In the same manner, such pratyaharas as, and give some examples. And there's something like 44 major pratyaharas that are in use, that Panini actually uses. And if you look on page 11, look on page 11, he has a list, 42 there are, he has a list of the major pratyaharas. You see the chart? That chart is just a list of the pratyaharas that Panini uses. So you can see. Yeah. So these sutras aren't really telling you anything that you didn't know. We're just looking at it in terms of the sutras. Because you've already learned what a pratyahara is, but you're seeing the sutras that are involved in informing that pratyahara in Panini.
But it says that it actually says that it includes the final it, you know, the first and then those in the middle, and it includes the final it.
But then tasyalopaha. That final it is elided.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes. And this is, it's interesting to see adi actually being used not as etc. in here, but adi actually being used as the first letter. Because that's how
yes,
adi is derived.
That's right.
Normally we never see
No, but you have to mean the unit, first and last. Sometimes we do use the first. Yeah. But if it comes at the end of a compound, it usually means that which begins with.
Right.
Right? Let's do a prayer.
I've got to get some new ones to do today.
Purnamidah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.